Have you ever watched a student pilot break ground on a soft field takeoff and thought, I know exactly where this is going? The nose comes up, the airplane lifts off, and then instead of staying low and accelerating, they immediately pitch up and try to climb away. The airspeed drops, the airplane sinks, and for one very long second, everyone on the ramp holds their breath. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we're talking about the soft field takeoff. It is one of the most misunderstood maneuvers on the private pilot check ride. Not because it's technically complex, but because it requires you to do something that feels completely wrong, stay low on purpose. Let's walk through this together. But first, a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that, private pilot, instrument, commercial. They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. aviationsoul.com. All right, the soft field takeoff. Let's start with the why. When a runway isn't pavement, the rules change. Grass, dirt, gravel, snow, sand, any surface with texture or give creates rolling resistance that a paved runway doesn't. The wheels can sink, they can drag, they can grab. Every extra second the airplane spends rolling on that surface is a second where something can go wrong. A soft nose wheel digging in. A wheel breaking through a crust, a prop strike from the nose pitching down unexpectedly. The goal of the soft field technique is simple. Get the weight off the wheels as fast as possible. And once you're airborne, stay airborne inside ground effect while you build speed. That second part is where the technique lives and where most students lose points. Here's how the maneuver flows from the beginning. On a soft field, you never stop rolling. You taxi right onto the runway and you're already adding power. The yoke or stick stays full aft the entire time, unloading the nose wheel so it doesn't dig in. As the airplane accelerates, the nose will want to rise, you let it. You're not forcing it off the ground, you're managing the back pressure, so the airplane tells you when it's ready to fly. In a Cessna 172, your normal rotation speed, your VR, might be around 55 knots. On a soft field, the airplane will lift off closer to 45 or even lower, depending on conditions. That early liftoff is not a mistake. It is the whole point. Now, here is where the trap is. The airplane breaks ground, you feel the wheels leave the surface, you are flying but you're not at climb speed, you may not even be at VX yet, and if you pull back and try to climb away from the ground right now, the drag will increase, the lift will drop, and the airplane will sink right back down. So what do? You stay low. You establish a level flight attitude, or very nearly so. Just enough pitch to stay clear of the surface without climbing into clean air above ground effect. And you hold it there while the airspeed builds. Ground effect is doing the work for you. It exists within roughly one wingspan of the ground. In a Cessna 172, that's somewhere around 35 to 40 feet. Inside that band, something useful is happening to the aerodynamics. When you're close to the surface, the wingtip vortices can't develop the way they normally would. Less vortex formation means less induced drag. The wing is more efficient. You get more lift for the same angle of attack. The airplane wants to fly, and it's easier to keep it flying close to the ground than it is in clean air. Here's something I wish someone had told me clearly when I was training. Ground effect is not magic, it's physics, and the physics go away the moment you climb out of that band. If you don't have enough airspeed when you leave ground effect, the wing's efficiency drops, induced drag increases, and the airplane will feel like it hit a wall. Because in aerodynamic terms, it kind of did. That is the ground effect trap. You feel smooth and capable at 45 knots skimming 3 feet off the turf. You pull back to climb, the airspeed bleeds, the airplane settles, and now you have very few options and very little altitude. The technique is hold the ground effect attitude. Watch the airspeed indicator. When you reach VI, which for a Cessna 172 is around 76 knots, then you pitch up and climb. Not before. Now let's talk about the specific mistakes I see most often, because this is where check ride prep gets practical. Mistake number one, releasing back pressure after liftoff. The airplane comes off the ground. The student feels the wheels let go, and instinctively they relax the control pressure. The nose drops. The airplane settles back to the surface. On pavement during practice, that's a bounce. On an actual soft field, that's a nose wheel dragging through mud or sod at 55 knots. That ends with a prop strike at best and a ground loop at worst. The fix is simple to describe and hard to internalize. Once you pull that yoke back and commit to the takeoff roll, you do not let the nose drop until you are established in a normal climb. Maintain the back pressure through liftoff, through the ground effect phase, all the way until you have VY, and you're climbing away cleanly. Mistake number two, trying to climb before reaching VI. I understand the impulse. You are flying close to the ground. Every instinct says altitude is safety, go up. But if you pitch up before you have the airspeed, the airplane cannot comply. It will slow down instead of climbing. And slowing down close to the ground on a short climb after a soft field departure is a serious problem. The discipline is to trust the ground effect. Trust that it's keeping you airborne. Trust that the airspeed is building. Keep one eye on the airspeed indicator. When it gets to VI, you climb. Not when it feels right, when the numbers say so. Mistake number three, over-rotating at liftoff. This one is subtle and more common than people think. Students know they need back pressure and an early liftoff, so they apply maximum back pressure aggressively, and the nose comes up sharply. The angle of attack spikes, the airspeed bleeds off almost immediately, and you've gone from nearly flying to nearly stalling in 2 seconds while still 5 feet off the runway. The pitch attitude you want in ground effect is not a climb attitude. It is close to level. Think of it as flying the airplane level just above the surface, not climbing away from it. A slight nose-high attitude to stay clear of the ground. That's it. The climb comes later when the speed supports it. Mistake number four is one that shows up before the maneuver even starts. It's in the planning phase, and it's on the oral exam. The Airman Certification Standards, or ACS, for the private pilot certificate require you to know how to calculate takeoff and landing performance for your aircraft under real-world conditions. That means if you are departing a soft or unpaved field, you need to account for surface type in your performance numbers. The Pilot's Operating Handbook, or POH, for most training aircraft, either has a soft field correction factor or notes on how to adjust your figures. Wet grass can add 20% or more to your ground roll compared to dry pavement. Long wet grass can add as much as 60%. 60%, that is not a small adjustment. If your calculated ground roll on pavement is 800 feet, a 60% correction puts you at nearly 1,300 feet. On a short strip, that number can be the whole conversation, and the examiner knows this on the oral. If you're calculating takeoff performance, they may ask you to factor in a grass surface. If you've never looked for that correction factor in the POH before, you're going to be searching for it in real time in front of someone who is watching you search. Know where it lives in the handbook before you walk in the door. Let me give you a scenario to make this concrete. You're planning a trip to a private grass strip. The strip is listed as 3,000 feet of dry, mowed grass. Density altitude at the time of your departure will be around 2,500 feet. You've planned fuel and weight carefully, and you're at about 85% of gross weight. You run the performance numbers from the normal paved runway table and calculate you need 900 feet of ground roll. You have the runway. You're fine. Except you haven't applied the grass correction, add 20 to 30%, and your ground roll estimate is now somewhere between 1,100 and 1,200 feet. You still have the runway, but the margins have changed. Now add a note in your pre-flight research that the strip has a slight upslope on the north departure end, which is the direction you'll be taking off due to winds. Slope adds more to your roll. And because this is a private strip, there's no AWOS, no weather station, no one to call and ask about the actual surface condition this week. You have runway, but your margin of comfort has narrowed considerably. That is when you make a different decision, or at minimum, you send a message to the strip owner asking about current surface conditions before you commit to the trip. That is what the ACS is really asking, when it says you should be able to assess soft field performance. It's not asking you to memorize a table, it's asking you to think before you go. Now the soft field landing, the technique is the same concept in reverse. You want to touch down as slowly as possible, and you want to keep the nose wheel off the ground as long as possible after touchdown. You're using the wings and aerodynamic drag to slow the airplane, not the nose gear. What goes wrong on the check ride? The student flies a decent approach, makes a nice flare, touches down smoothly on the mains, and then they breathe. They relax. The nose drops, the nose wheel comes down harder than it should, and on a real soft surface, that is the moment when the wheel digs in, the airplane pitches forward, and the prop or the firewall or both pay the price, hold the back pressure through the touchdown and into the rollout. Keep the nose wheel off as long as you can manage it. Let it come down gently when the speed drops enough that it has to. The landing should finish with the nose wheel touching the ground on your terms, not the runways. A few practical tips before we wrap this up. First, brief the maneuver before you get in the airplane. Walk through the sequence out loud in the pre-flight brief. Yoke back. Power in. Don't stop rolling. Let it fly off early. Hold the ground effect attitude. Watch the airspeed. V, then climb. Talking through it before you fly it builds the muscle memory before you need it. Second, know your numbers without looking. Know your aircraft's VXNV, know your soft field liftoff speed range, know your approach and landing speeds. These should not require a checklist scan while you're 3 feet off the ground accelerating through ground effect. The examiner is watching your eyes. If your eyes are hunting for a placard, you have already told them something. Third, brief a go-around before every takeoff, but especially here. If the soft field departure does not go as planned and you need to get back on the ground, know exactly what that looks like. A go-around from a failed soft field departure is not like a go-around from final approach at 500 feet. You are already at low altitude and low airspeed. The decision to abandon the takeoff has to happen early, and it has to happen cleanly. That decision is easier if you've already thought through what it looks like before you started rolling. Here is the broader point. The soft field takeoff and landing are not just check ride line items. They are real techniques you will use if you ever fly into a backcountry strip, a private farm field, a grass fly-in, a remote lake shore. The pilots who fly those places safely year after year, the ones who've been doing it for decades, all know the discipline of the ground effect phase. They don't leave it early. They know their numbers. They respect the surface. When the examiner watches you hold that ground effect attitude patiently, airspeed building, nose just high enough to stay off the turf, they are not seeing a student trying to hit a check ride mark. They are seeing a pilot who understands that energy management is not just for the check ride. It is the principle that keeps you alive when the stakes are real. That is what the oral is testing, not perfection, judgment. Information for today's segment comes from the Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Certificate and the Cessna 172 S Pilots Operating Handbook. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern, fly it like you mean it.